Well, let me add my word of greeting. It's great to see you, although I can't see you. I say that every week, I think. But this week, today, as we worship the Lord, I've had on my mind and heart all week this matter of our Lord being our rock, my rock and my redeemer, David said. And the text that's been floating around in my mind all week, as I've been thinking, there are so many texts in the Bible about the rock, but lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's been on my mind and heart, and I want to talk about that today. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is stronger than I, that is more stable than I can ever be, that is firmer than I. The scripture's always pointing us to get our eyes off ourselves and on Him. Christ is the rock, the scripture says. And so today I want to talk about just that. In fact, my goal is to lead you and to lead myself, to lead us to the rock that is higher and stronger and more dependable and more trustworthy than any other rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. A couple weeks ago, we talked about rock clinging, anchors that hold us to the rock. Last week, we looked at Moses' last words, and he said, "I want to ascribe greatness to our God, the rock!" Exclamation point. And we talked about his perfection, that he was the provider. Moses knew that firsthand. And that he was the one that pardoned our sins. He's a compassionate Savior. He's our Redeemer. So with that in mind, I want you to turn to Psalm 61. That's where this is found. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And what I want to do is just make some observations, and we'll ask the Lord to just use it in our lives. Lord, as we turn to your word, we ask you to teach us. You are the teacher, and we invite you to be our teacher right now. We pray in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lead me to the rock. I want to underline that for you, and I want to make some observations as we think about this, just some simple observations about the text. Lead me to not a rock, but the rock. And last week, actually, when Moses said, "I want to ascribe greatness to our God," he said, "the rock," exclamation point, you know, that is higher, that is stronger, that is firmer than I. Lead me to the rock. So my goal is to lead us to the rock today, to just verbally let the scripture take us to the rock. And let me just read the first four verses. "Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you've been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings." Now, as I said, I just want to kind of make some observations. "Hear my cry," he says. "Hear my cry, O God." We cry out to our rock. We can pray to him. But oftentimes when we sense our need, it's a cry. The second line says, "Give heed to my prayer." Our prayers are a cry for help. "Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer." You can cry to him anytime, anywhere. Maybe you're feeling distant from him. Maybe you're feeling, and often we do, like he's far away from us and we're maybe far away from him. Look at the third line of the psalm. "From the end of the earth I call." That's as far as you can get. I remember the first time I traveled around the globe, or I got on the other side of the globe, I thought, wow, I'm a long ways from home. And the psalmist says, David says, man, from the end of the earth you can call, wherever you are. I don't care where you are today, in the sense of you might be feeling distant from him, cry out to him, okay? And then you might say, well, when can I cry out? Look at the next line. When my heart is faint. You ever feel that way? Weak, tired, stressed. When your heart is faint, you can cry out to the rock that's higher than you, that's stronger than you. Maybe you're exhausted. We've been hearing in the news these last 6-8 weeks, all kinds of things, but recently I'm hearing more and more, and I'm feeling it, and you probably are too. Quarantine fatigue. Cry out to him. Wherever you are, you might be feeling like you're at the end of the world from him. He hears you. Cry out to the Lord, your rock. And when you're feeling faint, that's when you need to the most. When you're feeling faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you've been a refuge for me. In the Bible, we've seen it. The rock is a refuge, a place of shelter. You've been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. You know, I don't know what your tower of strength is, but I can tell you, this is a time, a season when many of us have learned that he's the only tower. He's the only rock. He's the only refuge. He's the only tower of strength. A rich man's wealth, Solomon wrote, who was the richest man in the world, by the way. He wrote, a rich man's wealth is like a strong city. It's like a high wall. Proverbs 18:11. But it doesn't end there. A rich man's wealth is like a strong city, a high wall, a tower of strength in his own imagination. What a barb. And many of us have been tempted to trust in wealth or our bank accounts or our 401ks or you name it. And this economic collapse has taught us that the Lord himself is the tower of strength. And then notice he says, let me dwell, let me live in your tent forever. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. This is the third week we've been looking at God, our rock and redeemer. And every time we've noticed that God isn't afraid to mix metaphors at all. One moment he's talking about a rock. The next minute, he's speaking of his wings watching over us. We can find shelter in his wings. And this immovable, strong rock is also tender and caring. And he uses the word tent. Oh, I'd love to dwell with you. I'd love to live in your tent forever, the psalmist says. And that's the kind of God we have. We can cry out to him and talk to him in that way. And then notice, in your Bible, it says Selah. We don't even know for sure what that word means. We leave it untranslated. But best reckoning, and this is the way I look at it, and it's been a help to me, when I come to that in the Psalms, it's like a musical interlude, a pause. And when music stops, there's a chance to kind of think and feel what you've just heard. And so when I tell you that you can cry to God, from the ends of the earth you can cry, he'll hear your prayer when your heart is faint, that he's a rock that's stronger than you, that you can take refuge in him, that you and I who know Jesus Christ are going to live forever with him. He's going to be our shelter and our refuge under his wings. Pause. Think. Enjoy. Selah. Okay? Then what I thought I'd like to do is just take this text, and in a very practical way, I've found this helpful to just think about it, to lead me to the rock, the psalmist says. And I want to lead us with this text to Jesus Christ in a practical way, not just theoretical, but in a day-to-day basis. How do you come to the rock that is stronger than you? Because I need to daily, and so do you. We need to come to the rock that is stronger than we are. And I want to zero our thoughts around look, listen, learn, and lean. Look for Him daily. Look for Him. What's the first thing you look for in the morning? Coffee. That's what I do, I got to admit. But actually, I've trained myself, and life has kind of trained me to, in the morning, the first thing I want to do is cry out to Him. Ask Him to give me perspective for the day. Cry out to Him. Look for Him. Hear my cry, O God. Give ear, give heed to my prayer. So you want to find the rock daily? First thing you seek in the morning, look for Him. Pray. Cry out to Him. And then that leads very quickly to listen. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. You say, well, how? Open the Biblos, the book, the Bible. The book God has given us. He's a God who has spoken, and we can listen to Him. Turn over to the 81st Psalm for just a second. Just a, 20 Psalms further on. And the psalmist here, the Lord speaking through the psalmist says in verse 8, hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel. If you would listen to me, hear, O my people, Shema, the Hebrew word. O Israel, if you would listen, Shema. He uses this term over and over, and I often quote it because he isn't afraid to keep using it. He says, oh, Israel, if you'd just listen to me. And I think about my own life, and maybe I'm speaking to you. I'm sure that the Lord often thinks, oh, if Scott would just listen to what I've said. I listen to this voice, I listen to that voice, but I often neglect the Scripture. And so I would encourage you, if you want to find this rock that's higher than you, if you want to embrace this rock today that is stronger and firmer than you, look for Him immediately and listen to Him. Listen to Him. He says again in the 13th verse, oh, that my people would listen to me. Shema. And you know, I find that this is a theme all the way through the Scripture. The Hebrew word Shema in the Old Testament means hear, listen, and it's even the word for obey. Oh, if my people would just listen up and heed what I say. And then you come to the New Testament, written in a completely different language, Greek, and Jesus would often say, if you've got ears to hear, hear. And he used the word akouo, and it's the same way. It speaks of hearing, listening, and it is actually translated obey and heed. God's word, when it's heard, changes the way we live. So listen to Him. I turn over to Isaiah. Just a couple books back from Psalms, keep going, and you'll get to Isaiah 55. The 55th of Isaiah is a passage that I've been meditating on this year. And I want to just read it to you. It's a very familiar passage, but I think you'll see why I turned to it right now. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Are you thirsty? come to the waters, he says. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, or your wages for what does not satisfy? God says, are you hungry? Come to me. Are you thirsty? Come, drink. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread and what doesn't satisfy? And then listen to what he says. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. Now, I bring this up because I'm saying, look for him in the morning, pray to him, and then listen to him. And through Isaiah the prophet, he says, listen carefully to me. Now, in Hebrew, when they wanted to emphasize something, they didn't necessarily say, listen carefully. They said, listen, listen. They just repeat the word, and it intensifies it. Shema, shema. And we rightfully translate it, listen carefully. But God says, shema, 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 and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. And then he says, incline your ear, come to me. So when you open the Bible in the morning, ask him to show you himself. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And that very readily leads to the next one. You look for him, you listen to him, and you learn of him. When you go to the Bible, you go not just to get biblical data or religious knowledge, you go to get knowledge of the author. The people who know their God, Daniel wrote, will display strength and take action. When you come to him in the morning and cry out to him and then listen to his word, it's always with the goal of getting to know him. Learn of him. This week, when you open your Bible, ask him to show you himself. Jesus as a resurrected Lord. He opened Genesis and Exodus. He opened the whole book of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets. He took them through the whole Old Testament and showed them the things concerning himself. You'll never go wrong when you open the Bible to ask God to show you the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And I would encourage you that when you go to the scripture, it's to gain knowledge of him. Turn over to a New Testament text. Turn over to Philippians 3. Paul said it so well. Paul was kind of had everything the world could offer in his world. And when he found Christ, he realized all that he'd had was rubbish in comparison to knowing Christ. And these are familiar words, but I want us to hear them. I'm reading Philippians 3, 8 through 10. He speaks of all that he had, and then he says, you know, whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 7. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you know him? Paul had known him at this point for 20-some years. But he said, man, all that other stuff, it's worthless compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. He repeats it. Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So when you look for him and you listen to him, it's to learn of him. Married couples know this. When you get married, some of you are in your early stages of marriage, and maybe you're discovering as you're learning about your spouse, you say, man, I thought I knew this guy that I married, but I didn't realize. And you're learning things. Or you thought, this woman that became my wife, I don't even feel like I know her, because you're getting to know her. You're learning of her. And why is that? And then some of you have been married 20, 30 years, and oftentimes your spouse knows you better than you know yourself. Why is that? Because you've roomed together for 25 years or 18 years or whatever, and you've logged a lot of time together, and you come to know each other. And our relationship with the Rock, with Christ, our Redeemer, is a personal relationship. And time logged with him equals getting to know him, learning of him. And so I encourage you to continue daily. If you're a new believer, you just came to know Jesus Christ, look for him daily. Listen to him and learn of him. And you'll walk through life. On the journey of life, he'll walk with you. In fact, he said, remember when he said, when Jesus was here, he said in Matthew 11, he said, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Learn from me. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. When we walk with him, when we yoke up, so to speak, when we're walking with him down the journey of life, we learn of him and we get to know him. And the people who know their God will display strength and take action. And that leads very naturally to this fourth one. We look for him, we listen to him, we learn of him so that we might lean on him. Lean on him. Lean on me, the old song said. And we just instinctively understand that word, to lean, to depend upon, to find refuge in. The more you learn of Christ, the more you can lean on Christ. I'd like you to turn to maybe one of the most familiar texts in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 3. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I sometimes ask people, what does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? We talk about believers and unbelievers. I like to look in the scripture for words that are synonyms of this word belief. And here you have trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, you've probably noticed that the Proverbs were written in couplets. There's two lines. They're basically wise sayings, but they're written almost in the form of Hebrew poetry, where you have parallelism. And the Hebrew poets, they didn't try to make things rhyme like we would in English, but rather they had a certain rhythm to it. And in fact, the first line would then be built upon by the second line. And so he says something, and then sometimes he'll just say the same thing. And Bible teachers call that synonymous parallelism, where a statement will be made and then it's said again. Sometimes it's didactic parallelism from our word for teaching, the Greek word for teaching, and you think of a line and then he builds on it. And that's often the way we teach. We say something and then we say something that underlines it. But sometimes, quite often really, the Proverbs use antithetical parallelism. In other words, something said and then the opposite, the antithesis, you might say, is said. So look at this one. So familiar, but don't miss this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not trust in your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust yourself. But notice he didn't say it that way. He said, that's what he's saying, but he's saying trust in the Lord and don't trust, but he says lean upon your own understanding. To trust him is to lean on him. It's to put your full weight on him. It's to depend on him. Trust in the Lord and don't trust in yourself. As I said when we began almost, the constant aim of the Scripture is to get us to look away from ourselves to him. Lean on him with your whole heart, not half-heartedly. Lean on him in all your ways. Acknowledge him. Trust in him with all your heart. You'd never hear him say something like, trust in the Lord on Sundays. He just doesn't speak that way. And yet sometimes that's the way we operate. We think of our religious life as one little compartment. And now he says, listen, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with everything you've got, and you'll find him to be an unshakable rock. I love to go over Cannon Beach and on the Oregon coast and just watch that rock do nothing. It does not move. The wind and the waves crash at it and beat it and 24/7, and it never moves. Our Lord is immovable. Everything else changes. The winds come this way and then the waves batter us that way. And during these last 6-8 weeks, during this virus thing, there's been plenty of that going on. And maybe you're feeling that. I'm telling you, we say instinctively, lead me to the rock that is stronger, that is firmer, that is higher than I. He's firm, he's unshakable. He's not like a ladder that you prop up against and then you lean on it and you hope it's good. No, he's an unshakable rock. I'm not much of a seafaring guy, but I know if you've got a small boat, you're really going to get pushed around by the ocean. The bigger the boat, the better. But I'll tell you what, the biggest ocean liner ever built that man can conceive, it's very firm. But even then, a storm can come along and you can get seasick on an ocean liner. But Haystack Rock never moves, you know. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This week, look for him, cry out to him, pray to him. Listen to him, open his word and really listen to what he has to say, to learn of him so that you and I might lean on him. And then I have a final exhortation. But as you've noticed, and I don't do this very often, but it's kind of alliterated here. Everything's an L. And my final thought, I couldn't come up with an L. So you'll just have to bear with me. I want us to remember that we're to proclaim him. In this season, we have opportunity to proclaim him. But you know what? I decided I could just use the text that has been speaking to us throughout this whole series. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We got the L, okay? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Did you notice that the look, listen, learn, lean, it all pointed to Him? Well, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to Him. Speak of Him. Let the words of your mouth be about Him. Let the meditation of your heart be about the rock. And when you have opportunity, you'll want to talk where your heart is. It'll come out of your mouth. And so this week, as you talk about Him, as you speak of Him, I guarantee you, your words will be acceptable because God loves it when we talk about His Son. And now more than ever in these days, people all around us are looking for a refuge, a fortress, a rock. They've found out that the tower of strength they put their hope in has crumbled. But we know the One who will never leave us or forsake us, who will never let us down. And I want to encourage you to look for Him daily, listen to Him in His Word daily, learn of Him, lean on Him, and let the words of your mouth be about Him. Speak about Him. Lord, thank You for Jesus, the rock. And we thank You in His name, the name above every other name, the name that every knee is going to bow to. Amen.